your Bibles right now and just have them ready. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures today. The series that we're doing for our 40th anniversary on the first Sunday of every month is called We Still Believe. And we're looking each month at something we have believed since we started as a church and still believe. Different truths, different doctrines, or values that we determined were important as a church and have tried to follow. And so today we're going to be looking at one of those values. Let me pray first, okay? I've been praying a lot about this morning. I think this morning could become very crucial to our church family and to some of you personally. So I just pray that you will have ears to hear and that you will really hear what God has to say to you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have now to go into your word. Father, you led us to determine what we believed years ago. As we looked at your word, Father, you helped us to decide these are the things that we are going to believe as a church, that we are going to teach, that we are going to live. And Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us over these 40 years. And Father, I just pray that we've been faithful to you and to these beliefs and to these values. And God, guide us today as we reaffirm one of those values and as we think about how we're doing as a church, but also as individuals. Father, we just ask that your Spirit would move in this place. You already have, Lord, as we worshiped you and been reminded of your holiness. Just continue to work amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a quick announcement. It's in your bulletin, but I just want to mention it. On the 28th of September, a Saturday night, we'll be coming together for our second remembering service of the year. We had one in March where we just gathered together and had a simple service of sharing things we remembered, memories from the last 40 years and how God has worked in our lives. And many didn't get in on that. Those that did were blessed. And so we're going to have our second one on the 28th of September. So we invite you to come out. It'll be mainly sharing memories, but also we will remember Christ's death on our behalf, so there will be communion shared that evening. And there will be another video greeting from someone. I'm not going to tell you who. And there will also be something special. As you know, throughout the years with the different series we do and different themes, we've had a lot of banners up like this one for this series. On the 28th, we're going to get them all out of the closets. And they're going to be laid out, and you get to take whichever ones you want home and do with them whatever you want. You can hang them up in your homes, at your business. You can put it on the door of your car. You can put it on your bed and use it as an extra blanket. I don't know what you'll do, but we're going to give away all these banners that we've had that remind us of the things that we have been thinking about and learning over the years. So that's the 28th, Saturday night, September 28th. Earlier this week, Janine and I went away for 2 days to celebrate our anniversary, and we decided to go back to the Walker Park Rapids area of Minnesota, which is where we spent 6 years right out of college. It was the first church that I pastored. It was White Oak Baptist Church at Akeley, which is right between Park Rapids and Walker. So since we were in that area, we decided to take a little jaunt out of Akeley to this country church that we pastored for 6 years. And we went out there, and boy, has it changed. Across the highway from the church building was the first house we lived in, a literal tar paper shack. They put tar paper on the walls but never sided it, so it was a tar paper shack. But now it's gone. And that corner is a barnyard. It's just a barnyard for the farmer that lives next door there. And then the church itself has changed. Over the 40 years, they've added on to it. It looks really nice. The second house we lived in that was right next to the church has changed dramatically. There are trees where there weren't trees, and there aren't trees where there were trees, and just so much changed. And, you know, that's typical. Why wouldn't in 40 years? Things do change. I mean, in 40 years, things have changed here, right? I mean, from the town hall, worshiping on Sunday, to this building. From six families, 25 people or so, to 200 and some people worshiping. And so many other things change. 40 years is a long time. And did anybody read the Daily Bread this morning? In the Daily Bread this morning, there's a quote from an ancient philosopher. It says, "You can never step in the same river twice." The point is, a river is ever-changing. You can step in the river, but the next time you do, it has changed. The water you stepped in before has gone on downstream, and there's more water. And the point of the devotional this morning was that everything changes. Everything changes. Some changes are quick. Some changes are slow, but everything changes. And the author said there's only one thing that remains the same and never changes, and that's our God. His nature, who He is, and His Word that He has given to us. And the message of that scripture never changes. And so, on your sheet, if you have a study sheet, you have a reminder of the 13 core values that our group identified years ago as a church. Things that we believe are to be valued as a church and to be lived out as a church. And today we're going to talk about the third one in the list, which on the list is worded this way, a high standard of holiness. That is one of our core values. What is holiness? Well, we've been singing about the holiness of God over and over this morning, reminding ourselves that that's true of Him. He is a holy God. What does that mean? Well, the word holy simply means set apart, separate, different from all others. Actually, the idea of holy is both being set apart from as well as being set apart to or for. So when we talk about being holy, we talk about being set apart from something. And what we're going to talk about today is being set apart from sin and the old ways of sin, and set apart to or for God and the new way. That's being holy. That's holiness. God is holy. He's totally different. There's no one, there is nothing like Him. Totally different. Set apart from all. And the scripture says that His people should be holy, right? That His people should live a holy life. And the value says a high standard of holiness. So what's the high standard? Well, the high standard of holiness, according to Scripture, is not people. It's not certain people, even if they're great people. The high standard of holiness is God Himself, who He is, what He teaches, His Son Jesus Christ. That's the high standard of holiness, of holy living. And so we're going to talk about that today. Holy living. It's not popular to talk about holy living today. And you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, I've heard that out there. You know, it's not popular. Our culture frowns almost on the whole idea of holy living. I want to tell you, it's not just out there in our culture. There's a discomfort in talking about holy living in the church and in Christian circles today. And we shouldn't feel uncomfortable talking about holy living, should we? But there is a discomfort. It's not popular. But it's one of our values. We were committed to it years and years ago, and we still believe it's a value for us as a church. So, you'll notice on your sheet, we're going to look at six things that are involved with holy living and try to go through it quickly. But I want to talk about them, and I want you to think about them. Please think about it seriously. So first of all, holy living involves calling. It's about a calling. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in your Bible, the first chapter as Paul begins that letter. First Corinthians 1, in verse 1, he just introduces himself as the writer, Paul, the apostle. But then verse 2, he says, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So friends, we are in that verse. You see yourself there? It says, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you belong to Him? Then you're in that verse. And what he's saying to the church at Corinth and to us then, he says, I'm writing to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. It's the word for holy. It means set apart. You could read it to those set apart in Christ Jesus, to those made holy in Christ Jesus through their union with Christ. And then he says, and called to be holy. So in that one verse, we have this idea of holiness, first of all, that it's an identity. Those of us who are in Christ, who have been united with Christ through salvation, who belong to Him, have been sanctified. We have been made holy. That is now our identity. The Scripture calls us, guess what? Saints. What does the word saint mean? Holy one. So, those of us who know Jesus have been made holy. That's our identity. We are holy ones in the eyes of God. In Ephesians 1:4, Paul says that we were chosen to be holy in God's sight. That's how He sees us, because of the forgiveness we have in salvation. God sees us as holy. We've been made holy in His sight. In Ephesians 5:25 and 26, it says that Christ died to make His people holy. That's our identity as people who belong to Christ. In Hebrews 10:10, the writer says, we have been made holy through the death of Christ. It took the death of Christ and the forgiveness from that to do away with the control of sin so that God could look at us as holy. So we have been called to be holy in the sense that it's our identity. In God's eyes, we are holy as His people. But it says also, those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. Not just our identity, holy ones in God's sight, but we are called to be holy, to live holy. It's not just who we are, holy in God's eyes, but we are called to be holy in how we live. Set apart. Different. Holy. It's our calling. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And in the first chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to the young man Timothy, take a look at verse 9. He has just mentioned God. And in verse 9, he, referring to God, says, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Holy living is a calling. It's a calling. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. We're called to a holy life. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, just a couple books before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. 4:7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. You see, it's our calling to live a holy life. If you turn over to Ephesians, the letter to that church, chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Up to this point, Paul has been reminding the Ephesians of their calling to belong to Christ, their calling to salvation, their calling by the grace of God through faith to be Christians, saved. And then he says in 4:1 of Ephesians, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You've been called to be holy in God's sight. That's who you are as His people. But you are also called now to live like it, to live a holy life, to live a life that matches up with your calling to be holy. And so, when we talk about holy living, the first thing we have to know, brothers and sisters, is that it's our calling. And I don't know how serious you take that. Your calling. If you name the name of Jesus Christ and you say you belong to Him, and you truly do, that means you are a holy one. Your salvation has brought you into that identity. Before God, you are seen as holy, set apart for Him. But you're also called to live like it, to live a holy life. Does that matter to you? Does it matter to you that you have a calling to live a holy life? It's not just something you know, if you feel like it, do it. If you think it fits into everything else in your life, go ahead. Holy living is a calling from the One who saved us. We're called to holy living. Second, holy living is God's will. And again, I ask, does that matter to you? To those of us who name the name of Christ and say we belong to Him, does it matter to us if something is God's will or not? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 3. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, holy. And here's what he means in this passage, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy, different, set apart for God, and honorable. It's God's will that we be holy, not just in the area of sexuality, but in all of life. It's His will that we live holy lives, set apart, different lives for Him. Does that matter to us? Do we take that seriously? God's will. Holy living is His will. Third, holy living is about obedience. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First chapter of that letter. 1 Peter 1. 14. I'm going to read the whole passage. We're going to get our next three or four items in this list from this one passage. But let me read the whole thing. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Basically, the instruction here to the believers is be holy. Live holy. Holy living. But notice, it begins with the idea that this is about obedience, right? It says in 14, as obedient children. God is our Father. We are His children. And living a holy life, being holy, is about obedience. We are instructed to be holy. Again, I just ask the question. To those who name the name of Jesus, is obedience important? Is obeying your Father and His instructions important to you? Holy living is instructed. It has to do with obedience. It also has to do with nonconformity. Take a look here at verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. If you name the name of Christ, you should not be conforming any longer to the way you lived before, to the way you thought before, to the way you made decisions before. Holy living is about non-conformity to the old. It's not only non-conformity to this world, but it's non-conformity to the way you were. Because we are still vulnerable to the way we were. And we're still surrounded by reminders of the way we were before we knew Christ. And Peter said, as obedient children, no longer be conformed to the way you were. Be different. Be holy. It's about obedience. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know those scriptures. It talks about presenting yourself to God holy, right? And then it says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed, be different by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. Think holy. How are you different from before? You know, those of you who name the name of Christ, those of you who are believers, who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how are you different than you were before in the way you live? Do people make comments about difference? Do people ever say to you, what's different about you? There's something different about you? Do people notice the difference? What if they made a reality show based on your life? And they followed you around with a camera? Would the people who watch this show see something different from what they're used to? Would they see holy living? Living that tends to be set apart from the old and toward the new? What if they put a microchip in your brain and everybody could see on TV what you're thinking and your decision processes? Would it be different than what they're used to? Holy living is different. It's different thinking. It's different speaking. It's different relating. It's different. It's about non-conformity to the old and to what's around us. Fifth, holy living has to do with everything. And that comes out here from Peter. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy, here it is, in all you do. Everything. Holy living is about everything that involves you. You can't pick and choose what part of your life you'll practice holy living in. Scripture says it's in everything. It's in all you do. And so holy living is about your actions, your thoughts, your speech, your desires, your attitudes, your decisions. It's about your marriage. It's about you at work. It's about you as a student at school. It's about you in the locker room as a teammate. It's about you in your community and in your neighborhood. It's about you on vacation. It's about your friendships. It's about your dating relationships. It's about what you do on social media. Holy living is about everything. And there are reasons why we should practice holy living. And there are more reasons than the two I'm going to give. You know, for sure, holy living makes for a better life. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it does. That's a reason for holy living. Holy living really helps your witness. It helps your credibility when you start telling people about Jesus. There are a lot of reasons for holy living, but Peter gives one, and then I'm going to show you one that Paul gives. But in this passage, here's a reason for holy living. Verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, and then he quotes from Leviticus in the Old Testament, be holy because I am holy. We just sang about that. 5 or 6 songs, right? Reminding ourselves that God is a holy God. He is different. He is set apart. And the scripture says, as he who called you is holy, be holy. Be holy because I am holy, God says. There's our high standard. We are to practice holy living because the one who called us, our God, is holy. That's our reason for holy living. We have a God who is holy. That's a high standard. That's an extremely high standard. And so many of us as Christians like to lower the standard. If you've been at our house, you know that we have two basketball standards. One on our apron of our garage, which is 10 feet. And then another one that's probably between 6 and 7 feet. See, we have grandchildren, right? And I've noticed that when teenagers come to our house and they grab a basketball, you know where they go first? To the one that's about 6 or 7 feet high. And they come running up and they slam dunk that ball. And then they come to Grandpa and they say, Grandpa, I can dunk it. And they're so proud and they're so arrogant. We're just like that. We lower the standard of holy living, and then we think we're these great Christians. And we're doing it the way we're supposed to. Why do we lower the standard? The standard is high. Be holy, for I am holy. As the one who called you is holy, be holy. God Himself is our standard for holy living. Who He is and what He teaches in His Word is the standard. How dare we lower the standard and think we're doing all right? A second reason for holy living is given by Paul in 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 1. Now he's going to mention promises. We don't have time to go back to chapter 6 and talk about the promises. But 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness. Perfecting there means to move toward. Okay? So he's saying, moving toward holiness. Pursue. Some Bibles say pursuing. pursuing holiness in our lives. And what's the reason? It says, moving toward holiness out of reverence for God. The reason we are to live holy lives is because our God is holy. The one who called us is holy. That's our standard. But we are also to live holy lives because we reverence God. And again, friends, we who call on the name of Jesus Christ, who identify with Him as believers, do we reverence our God who has called us by His grace enough that we would live a holy life? It's about reverencing the God who saved us. It's about reverencing the holy God enough that we will pursue holiness ourselves in our life. So holy living, way back years ago, as a small church group, we identified core values that we not only wanted to believe in, but we wanted to teach and we wanted to live out as a congregation. And one of them was a high standard of holiness, holy living. It's about our calling. We are called by God through salvation to be holy in His sight. It's our identity. We are holy ones, set apart for God. But we are also called then to live out that holiness, to live a holy life, a different life, a set apart for God life. It's about God's will. It's what He wants. It's His will for us. It's about obedience. Holy living is obeying what God instructs. It's obedience. It's about nonconformity. It's moving away from what we used to be. It's moving away from the sin that used to control us. And it's moving toward God. It's moving toward the new persons He's made us. Being different. It's nonconformity. And it's in every part of our life. It's in all we do. It's in everything. We're to be different. And we have great reasons for holy living. First of all, our standard is God. He is holy. And He says, because I'm holy, you be holy. And if we reverence God, we will live holy. That's our reason for doing it, because we reverence Him. So today, like we do every first Sunday of the month this year, we want to be, first of all, informing people, because many of you haven't been with us the whole 40 years. Many of you weren't with us when we identified what we're going to believe and stand on. You weren't here when we identified these 13 core values that we believe in and we want to live out as a church. And so these first Sunday messages this year are to inform you so you know more about us, what we believe, what we value, why we do what we do. But also, it's for those who knew these things already that we might reaffirm them. That we might reaffirm and covenant with each other that we still believe these things. That we still believe these things. So, at the bottom of your sheet, I have some questions. And these are questions that all of us must address who name the name of Jesus. When it comes to holy living, which you've just talked about, are you all in? When it comes to holy living, are you all in? Is it something you think about? Is this something you ever talk about? Is holy living the desire of your heart and mind? Can you honestly say, I have a desire to live a holy life? I have a desire to live the life God instructs me to live. I have a desire to live according to the standards that God sets down. I have a desire to live a holy life because my God who called me is holy. Is it your desire? Second, is holy living the commitment of your will? Is it your choice? I mean, you can desire it. You can want it. But is it the commitment of your will? Not just the desire of your mind and heart, but is it the commitment of your will? Have you made a choice? Do you make a choice every day to live a holy life by God's standards? Is it the commitment of your will? But we have to go farther. Is holy living the action of your daily life? You can desire to live a holy life with your mind and heart. You can commit with your will and say, I choose to live a holy life. But friends, then you have to do it. Then you have to take action and start living that life. That different life. That life that's according to the standards that God gives us in His Word. And if you have that desire and you've made that commitment and you are taking action, then number four, do you have the readiness to be marginalized? Because if your desire is to live a holy life, if your commitment, the commitment of your will is to choose to live a holy life, and if you actually take action and live a holy life, are you ready to be marginalized? What does that mean? Well, 2 Timothy 3:8 says, all those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Isn't that a wonderful promise? All those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Are you ready for that? Is your desire to live a holy life so strong? Is your commitment and your choice so strong? Are you willing to take action in living a holy life, even to the point that you are ready to be persecuted for it, to be opposed for it, to be marginalized for it? Take a look at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Starting in verse 3, Peter talking to the believers, he says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and so they heap abuse on you. Have you experienced that? That there are people you used to run around with in the before picture of your life who now think you're so different. In fact, they think you're strange. They think you're weird that you still don't do what you used to do. You're still not the kind of person they remember. And because of that, they abuse you. They walk away from you. They say things about you. They marginalize you. What does it mean to be marginalized? It means to be pushed to the outer fringes. Too different. Too uncomfortable. Too much of a threat. Too different to be with them. And so you're marginalized. Guess what's happening to the Christians who live holy lives in our country today? Marginalized. We are the strange ones. There must be something wrong. We're the foolish ones. And so we are marginalized. Pushed to the outer fringe. Don't fit anymore. Are you ready for that? Because that's part of holy living. You have the desire to live a holy life. You have the commitment to live the holy life. You actually are taking action to live the holy life. Are you ready to face what that might mean in this world? Being marginalized, unaccepted, being viewed as a threat. I think this is a very crucial time for churches. I think this is a very significant time in history for church communities, because we see churches compromising on this very subject. Not just individual Christians, and there are many of them, even here in this audience today, I'm sure. Christians who individually are compromising the holy life, content with a lower standard than God sets, and think you're doing okay. But there are churches, church communities, who are corporately deciding to compromise holy living and lower the standards. Right? There are. This is a crucial time for churches, and what a wonderful time for us to celebrate 40 years and to look ahead. May we never compromise our commitment to holy living. May we never lower the standard that God Himself has given us for holy living, for being different. May we be a church that continues to make the choice for holy living, to teach it unashamedly and to live it. And so I'm going to ask our worship team to come back, and they're going to lead us in a song of commitment, reaffirmation maybe. Once they get up here and begin, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to, as we sing this song, if it's what God is moving you to do, to individually reaffirm your commitment, your desire, your pursuit, your willingness to take action toward living a holy life. And whatever that means, according to God's Word. As we stand and sing this song, may we also be covenanting together as a body that this is what we will continue to value and pursue in the years to come as a church. And if you need to make this reaffirmation in a way that goes beyond standing there in the audience, but you really believe that before God, you need to make this reaffirmation in your life to holy living up front, more public, then as we're singing, as you're singing with us, make your way up. Stand, kneel before God, and sing with us. But let's reaffirm our desire, our commitment toward holy living, as individuals and as a church.